Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the confused senior of free speech. We have some confused seniors, but we also have some pretty sharp seniors, too. So sometimes I can be one or the other. And go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. Okay, back to you, Andy, and then on with the show.
Thank you, Patrick. So today is the Dankoff Report. So Mark always prepares a document. There'll be a roadmap to it, to all the links in the post for this show at achshow.com. We go out on rentsradio.com, republicbroadcasting.org, speakfreeradio.com, and neurofolkradio.com, along with my website, and also don't forget Patrick's website, nationalbugle.com. Links to Patrick's website and the archives of both Mark and Patrick's shows will be in the post for this show also. So Mark, it's the Dankoff Report. Take it away, Mr. D.
Hello, Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, with ACH and Patrick Slattery with the Dankoff Report, the London version of it. Going to cover a few stories from Friday's Dankoff Report on RBN. Then we're going to go into a few news stories. I'm going to move very quickly so we can actually get Patrick into the mix in terms of some actual conversation about these stories. On Friday, we looked at Biden's neocon war propaganda machine for global homo and Zelensky, courtesy of his awarding the Congressional Medal of Honor to Vietnam Colonel Harris D. Davis. Colonel Davis, in fact, legitimately won that award. When you read about what he did in the Vietnam conflict in June of 1965, no question about that, certainly. But the interesting thing is the timing of this award to Colonel Davis some 58 years after the fact. Joe Biden seems to be sending out a message in terms of the timing of all of this. You get one guess as to what that message might be in terms of a war yet future. How many of you know who Ilya Ponomarev is? Ilya Ponomarev, of course, used to be in the State Duma in Russia. He's an avowed enemy of Vladimir Putin. He has taken great pride in claiming some degree of involvement and responsibility in terms of the recent Russian terror attack, the recent Ukrainian terror attack that took place in this region of Russia, where, in fact, this several children were severely injured and several people were killed. This gentleman, Igor Ponomarev, has also taken some degree of responsibility for involvement in the assassination of Daria Dugina in Moscow last August 20th. Fascinatingly enough, the Russians have it figured that this guy is involved, as well as the main intelligence directorate of the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine, the GUR, and that all of these various people who were involved in this operation were supervised by the head of the GUR, Kirill Budinov. Nonetheless, when we look at Mr. Ponomarev, we ask ourselves a fundamental question. Why does he pop up suddenly in terms of a predominantly Jewish think tank in Philadelphia, known as the Foreign Policy Research Institute? Why has he been involved in several productions there in conjunction with Republican neocon and deep state courtier Kurt Weldon? Weldon, of course, is an ex-GOP congressman from Delaware County, Pennsylvania, who has been involved in all kinds of things related to neocon operations, armaments, deals, all kinds of things in the dark that had his house searched by the FBI quite a number of years ago. But in this particular case, what is the angle with Kurt Weldon and this predominantly Jewish think tank in Philadelphia known as the Foreign Policy Research Institute and this Ilya Ponomarev? We might ask Weldon, we might ask the Foreign Policy Research Institute in Philadelphia if they approve of these kinds of terrorist acts, be it the Dugina assassination last August 20th in Moscow or this more recent incursion into Russia on the part of Ukrainian terrorists, several of whom have been linked now to this neo-Nazi Azov battalion. Do these folks in Philadelphia and Mr. Weldon approve of this sort of thing? At least we might suspect that they do. Fascinatingly enough, that this Ponomarev connection with Weldon transpires, since, in fact, Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic had been trying to make a Russian agent out of Weldon and had been trying to make Weldon into someone who is brokering Russian influence with Donald Trump. Something is amiss here when you look at these latest connections of Kurt Weldon's that have transpired since that Atlantic story was published. All kinds of continued things in regard to the basic war going on in Russia, in the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. CNN via Intel Slava. I'm going to put up these casualty figures. I mentioned these on the on RBN on the Dan Koff Report on Friday. Alexander Mercuris has discussed these figures, hasn't been able to get confirmation of them, but nonetheless, they are suggestive. According to Intel Slava, CNN, citing its sources in the Ukrainian general staff, reports that on February 28th, 2023, the losses of the armed forces of Ukraine amounted to 259,085 people killed, died from wounds or diseases, 246,904 wounded or crippled, deserted as well as missing, 83,952, captured, 28,393. Fascinating that we're seeing those kinds of numbers allegedly coming from CNN. Mercuris is still trying to get confirmation of this Intel Slava report by looking at some or trying to find some original CNN footage. Nonetheless, those figures are out there, and we'll be watching that story a great deal in the days ahead. Ray McGovern for Lou Rockwell says that the Washington Post has finally let Seymour Hersh's dangerous cat out of the bag. Finally, we see the Washington Post talking about these attacks on Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 and Hersh's expose in regard to what he says and what I believe actually happened. Take a look at some other things that are up here in terms of this report. Alexander Dugin for the Geopolitica has something called Russia's coming out of anesthesia, the six phases of the special military operation. This would explain, I think, a lot of the things that Paul Craig Roberts has raised at Lou Rockwell in regard to why we haven't yet seen a so-called big arrow offensive on the part of Putin's people, and why there wasn't a big arrow offensive from the beginning in terms of the special military operation. This particular story goes a long way toward explaining, once certain corrections were made, why we are yet likely to see that transpire. I did not mention on the air on Friday on RBN, well worth your time here to take a look at these. The Hindustan Times has videos on YouTube that are particularly both entertaining and informative as it relates to things Russian and Ukrainian. I put up a link to this on my own page, Mark Dankoff's Catacomb at WordPress. But take a look at these Hindustan Times videos. They are very, very interesting. They're entertaining. They're informative. And they get into all kinds of things that are absolutely amazing in regard to the professional character of these productions. So let's take a look at that sometime. And I am not going to go into some of the individual videos that I have already watched that pertain to all of these different things, but just be aware that it's there. Jeremy Kuzmarov has written a piece last July for Covert Action magazine, How Corrupt is Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky? take a look at that story, even though it's dated, because in more recent times, South Front is reporting that corruption scandals in Ukraine might spill over into the Biden family itself and the Democratic Party. That's a nice thought, but I wouldn't bet on it based upon who it is that controls major media, major corporate media, both in the United States and in Western Europe. That dovetails with something that Johnny Punish and I talked about several days ago in a taping that we did for VT that is finally up there on the big board. I'll say something about that in a minute. Switching for a moment to American domestic politics, American Freedom News reports that the racist communist Chicago mayor Lori Lightfoot fails to reach second round of mayoral race. Actually, I like that title. I go along with it. But interestingly enough, compare Lori Lightfoot's failure to reach the second round of this mayoral race in Chicago with this fawning story from The Advocate, which is a so-called queer publication. After she was first elected, the Advocate said that Lori Lightfoot was cementing her place in queer history, quote unquote. Interestingly enough, as I said on Friday on RBN, could it be that even in the city of Chicago, the most politically correct people are beginning to question whether or not mere woke demographics is enough to run a major city in this country. You can be an African-American, you can be a lesbian, you can have a lesbian Jewish partner, but if you can't run a city, and if that city is going downward in terms of what it used to be, perhaps even your best friends might begin to notice that. So keep an eye on that particular story. Are changes coming in Chicago? Are changes coming in some of our other major cities in the United States? Only time tells. Mike Whitney for UNCE last week had won the Plan to Wreck America. And there's a quote from this that I think is very, very good. Quote, the reason I transcribed this comment from Colonel McGregor, says Mike Whitney, was because it sums up the perceptions of a great many people who see things the same way. It expresses the hatred that globalist billionaires have toward Christians and patriots, both of which they see as obstacles to their goal of a borderless one-world government. McGregor, Colonel McGregor, Colonel Douglas McGregor, discusses this phenomenon in relation to Russia, which George Soros sees as, quote, the last national state that rests on a foundation of Orthodox Christian culture with Russian identity at its core, unquote. My translation of that, get behind Putin and Russia. Let's see George Soros dropped off of a bridge someplace. But nonetheless, this is the implication of that Whitney story. Take a look at it when you can. We have put up stories both from RT and an incredible PDF file on the links of George Soros with all kinds of media organizations. That is well worth your time. And then, of course, in regard to the last couple of things that that I mentioned on RBN, just as we were going off the air, here's a heartwarming story from Zero Hedge. The Democratic mayor of College Park, Maryland, has been arrested on 56 child pornography charges. This gentleman, whose last name is Wojahn, W-O-J-A-H-N, nonetheless, his calamitous demise, using the words of Zero Hedge, as mayor of College Park, is in stark juxtaposition to his meteoric ascent into the office. After being elected as College Park's first openly gay mayor, Wojahn cultivated a bond with current Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. The two first met following Wojahn's election in 2015 at the U.S. Conference of Mayors winter meeting in Washington, D.C., during Buttigieg's term as mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Buttigieg held a similar distinction to Wojahn as South Bend's first openly gay mayor. The parallel between the two was expounded upon by Wojahn in a 2019 interview with the Washington Blade, that is a so-called queer publication, in which he expressed that he held Buttigieg in high regard as his mentor. Apparently, there's a lot more admiration for Buttigieg coming from that particular quarter than from the people in East Palestine, Ohio. So that's basically some of the things that we talked about in regard to the show on RBN on Friday. There are several things that I wanted to mention in regard to some newer things that will be merged into the roadmap for this particular show. Take a look at the UNCE review today. War and Propaganda in the Russian-Ukrainian Conflict. That's Ron UNCE, of course. That is particularly important to compare that with the front page of CNN.com, where we are hearing from CNN about the terrible price that Russia is paying for their impending victory in Bakhmut, which CNN, of course, continues to downplay in terms of its significance. Two things are important here. Bakhmut is not a small village. The other thing is that Bakhmut is the logistical and communications hub for the entire Zelensky line, which stretches out some 1,000 to 1,200 kilometers. Larry Johnson says that that line, the Zelensky line, is like going from Paris to Warsaw. So in this regard, this Bakhmut thing is extremely significant. And it's not only significant in terms of what it will mean once the Russians put up their artillery west of Bakhmut and start shelling Kramatorsk, but it is also significant in that it is Ukraine that is doing the predominant amount of suffering and dying in that conflict and throughout the war generally. Not the Russians, but the Ukrainians. It's not to say that there have not been Russian losses or Russian suffering. Clearly, that's absurd. But nonetheless, numerically speaking, the numbers are all on the side of Ukraine in terms of the tragedy of this conflict. So compare CNN's coverage on this Bakhmut thing with what Ron Ohns tells us today about war and propaganda and the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. This is something that I think Patrick will find particularly interesting. This comes to us, I listened to the first part, or actually the entire part, of what Alexander Mercuris of the Duran and his partner, Alex Christoforou, were covering in regard to this most significant diplomatic meeting between Lukashenko of Belarus and President Xi of China. In this regard, it was a four-hour meeting, and there was all kind of pomp and circumstance connected to that meeting, according to Mercuris, heightening the significance of this meeting where the Chinese are concerned. It is quite fascinating to speculate as to what Lukashenko and Xi are talking about and were talking about before Xi's meeting later this month with Vladimir Putin in Moscow. This particular
I'm just very much a stickler. It's she, like Buttigieg's pronoun. She.
She. Oh, okay. I think Mercuris has been saying she. Is it she?
No, I think Mercuris is like one of the very few people who's getting it right. I'm pretty sure he's saying she.
Is he saying she? People,
yeah, she, okay. She.
Okay.
It's like...
So in other words, President Xi would have one understanding in China. President Xi in this country could mean that Buttigieg is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Oh, God forbid. But at any rate, President Xi, of course, in his meeting with Lukashenko, undoubtedly is preparing for this meeting, major meeting coming up with Vladimir Putin of Russia. And when we talk about what all might be involved in this, Mercuris and Christoforou covered this. This is something that now is coming to us from Liam Cosgrove of UNCE on the 3rd of March. D.C. China hawks will virtue signal this country into poverty. U.S. leaders are picking a fight with the country's largest financier and supplier of goods. You think the sanctions on Russia have had a detrimental effect on both Europe and the United States, Europe primarily. This whole business of engaging in neocon sanctions on China, which seems to be just around the corner, that is going to produce an absolute catastrophe in the Western world economically. And, of course, it remains to be seen as to what President Xi might be getting ready to do in regard to supporting Russia to the tune of a lot more drones in Ukraine, among other things. Watch that story closely. Cultural stuff or lack of cultural stuff. Take a look at LifeSite News. Pope Francis ramps up attacks on the Latin Mass while pro-LGBT clergy continue to defy church teaching. Nothing surprising there, but that's now out there at LifeSite. The CPAC conference, which concluded a couple of days ago in Washington, D.C., you can still read up on that at conservative.org. I have my own opinion of these conferences. I remember the very first one in early 1974. It was the very first CPAC conference being pushed by Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly, and William F. Buckley's National Review. The most significant speaker at that one was none other than Ronald Reagan, 2 years before his challenge of Gerald Ford in the 1976 Republican primaries, where Reagan fell just short of the nomination that year in Kansas City. But in terms of the CPAC conference, interesting to look at the speakers to see what they were talking about and then to evaluate exactly what may have transpired there in terms of political events yet future. Russia. Sputnik International has a video out there now. Kiev-controlled Russian neo-Nazi unit ringleader behind Bryansk region attack, FSB says. I have little doubt that that is...
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say. The world go.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
And make the world.
Ringleader behind Bryansk region attack, FSB says. I have little doubt that that is in fact true. South Front has posted profiles and pictures of the ringleaders of this attack, including this individual mentioned in this Sputnik video. Nonetheless, it would certainly appear that Ilya Ponomarev, already discussed, was involved in this in regard to its planning, as he also has claimed to be, with the assassination of Daria Dugina last August 20th, which once again begs the question, what is the predominantly Jewish Foreign Policy Institute of Philadelphia and one neocon ex-GOP Congressman Kurt Weldon, what are these folks doing in regard to being linked to these kinds of people and these kinds of criminal acts? You can connect the dots, one assumes. Two other stories, and then I'll stop here so we can get Patrick into this mix here. Our old buddy Jonas E. Alexis at Veterans Today, now a co-senior editor there, and quite deservedly, has one entitled Russian Military Destroys Submariner's Base in Nikolaev. This is something that Jonas expounds upon a little bit, taking the original story from Sputnik News. This whole business, of course, of Nikolaev would suggest that the Russians were not simply doing this in regard to defensive measures being taken against Nikolaev because of the way in which Nikolaev was going to be used allegedly for a submarine sabotage unit. But this whole business of Nikolaev suggests that the Russians, in any final settlement of this conflict in the Ukraine, I have always argued, would go on to take Odessa, because of their desire to control the north shore of the Black Sea, And now here we are seeing this situation where there has apparently been a pretty significant military operation where the Russians destroyed a submariner's base in Nikolaev City, which you, if you're at all familiar with the geography involved in this, is the major city prior to reaching Odessa. Last but not least, I'll engage in a little shameless self-promotion. This whole issue of Fox News versus Dominion voting systems in terms of this legal case that is now getting ready to go to trial if they don't settle it before April. I did a video for RT Radio with Johnny Punish in regard to this so-called media trial of the century, assuming that Rupert Murdoch and Dominion don't settle in the dead of night to keep any further publicity from transpiring in regard to this story. But in regard to this Dominion voting system, to which brought this $1.6 billion suit, they're, of course, arguing that Fox News defamed them by knowingly repeating falsehoods from former President Trump and his allies and his aides that Dominion services were used to fraudulently elect Joe Biden to the White House. What did I say in this particular TV taping that is now up there at VeteransToday.com? I basically emphasize first and foremost, then I'll let you watch this thing on television if you wish. The first thing I said was that the election was definitely rigged, if for no other reason than the deep state suppression of the New York Post laptop story. Because when you look at the key battleground states that Trump lost to Biden, in at least three of these, Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin, the margin of Biden's victory was 0.01%. That's one vote cast in every 7,000. And in this particular case, there is no question that had the New York Post story on the Hunter Biden laptop been aired, that you would have seen enough of a switch in popular vote totals, assuming any degree of responsible, honest counting, that would have elected ultimately elected Donald Trump, love him or hate him, as the president of the United States. The other thing that is mentioned in this video is that when you go back and look back in the 2019 timeframe, it's quite fascinating how Democrats Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Ron Wyden joined up with Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, to express extreme concern about the potential for fraud with these electronic voting machines, of which Dominion is only one of three major consortiums. In this regard, you learn about several things. One is that when Wyden and Lankford were talking about insisting in legislation on a paper trail to verify the electronic ballots cast, there's a big issue. And that is that you can easily come up with a piece of paper that prints out for an individual voter all of the people that he or she thought that they were voting for, only to have a barcode that, when entered into the database of the voting precinct, casts the ballot in exactly the opposite way. Now, this is interesting because there's a whistleblower, Dennis Montgomery, who comes up in this video. He developed two computer programs, Hammer and Scorecard. Did so under the auspices of ex-Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, under the auspices of ex-CIA Director John Brennan, and last but not least, Christopher Krebs, who at the time was the computer network guru for the Department of Homeland Security. Hammer enabled, according to Dennis Montgomery, these federal intelligence agencies to break into any protected wireless network in the country, even ones as protected as allegedly exist in these voting precincts. The other program, Scorecard, according to Dennis Montgomery, would enable the feds in monitoring a wireless network that is set up to protect electronic voting.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite 7 Herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
The other program's scorecard, according to Dennis Montgomery, would enable the feds in monitoring a wireless network that is set up to protect electronic voting and electronic voters. Scorecard would enable these same people, according to Dennis Montgomery, to switch electronically the votes of people once they finish voting, between that time and the time that the ballot is actually entered into the database. So that's a little bit of what we talked about with Johnny Punish over at Veterans Today. And that one is entitled Fox News versus Dominion. And I'm the guest on that particular show. Patrick, I know I was covering a lot of territory. I apologize for the length of that. What's going on? Are Patrick? You there?
Let me just check that he's connected. No, you're on mute, Patrick. You need to unmute. He's still connected, so
Well, I could explain what happened just now, but I won't. Okay, thank you very much. What I was wondering, it involves a... Well, no, I won't even say it. No, I'm not going there. You mentioned CPAC. Was this the 50th anniversary of CPAC?
I believe so, because the first one was in 74. So, yeah, this would be the 50th anniversary. Yes.
The 50th one they've had.
Yes.
So I guess the 50th anniversary, they'll have their 51st CPAC convention. And I heard I did follow the CPAC to an extent. There was a poll, a straw poll, and Donald Trump had, I think, 62% support, and DeSantis had 20% support, and some rich guy, rich white guy, had 5% support, and then, like, Nikki Haley was 3%, and Pompeo and Mike Pence were even following them, which was a little bit interesting. I looked at the rich white guy that nobody's ever heard of, and he says, well, I'm probably too conservative for you because I'm pro-life and pro-First Amendment and pro-low taxes and anti-China. And the anti-China thing was a big theme. That was a big theme. So this is the new definition of conservatism. This is a new definition, unfortunately, of MAGA. Is war with China. And I saw a little excerpt of Donald Trump speaking where he said that he was going to, when he's in the White House again, he's going to round up all the illegal immigrants and he's going to send them out of the country. No questions asked. No questions asked. Which, you know, obviously he's not going to do if he's, you know, maybe he'll become president again, but he's not going to round up all the immigrants and send them out, no questions asked. He was extremely easily manipulated. To the extent he wasn't manipulated, he was extremely easily defeated on most things. I mean, he had a few successes here and there. I'm not going to take everything away from him. But what I thought was really interesting was at least the rhetoric. The rhetoric, because, you know, 35-40% of the people in America are going to agree with anything that comes out of his mouth. And if he's saying it's okay to think, it's okay to say, we're going to round up all the illegal immigrants and send them out of the country, no questions asked, that's important rhetorically. So I wanted to hear the whole speech. And I'd also, I understood he had said something about, was it ending affirmative action or something like that? There's an Indian rich guy, some rich Indian guy who's 37 years old, and he's got a 2-point platform, which appears to be ending affirmative action and then war with China. Well, I listened to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump I didn't hear. It was hard to find the whole Donald Trump speech because Donald Trump is shadow banned on YouTube and other things. I found 40 minutes. Section of his speech. It didn't include the beginning. I assume that's where he's made his comments about illegal aliens because I did not hear them. I did hear him say that he was going to hold China accountable for the coronavirus that they unleashed on the world, and that he was going to, what he said was he was going to cut off trade with China. And, you know, you might as well have World War III. And, the question is, okay, are we going to, end immigration or deport all these illegal aliens and end affirmative action before we blow up the world or after we blow up the world? That's kind of the question. So those are my thoughts on CPAC. I kick that back to Andy and Mark.
Andy, what do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely interesting observations there. And it's an interesting time because there's been a lot of, in the independent media, a lot of speculation over this part of March, shall we say, the Ides of March they talk about, and how we could be seeing something major happening at this time. I know that this is said a lot on websites in the independent media, and it always ends up being something of a nothing burger. But to hear how the escalation of hostilities is going between NATO and Russia and things like that. And there's been predictions, there's been claims by other people in the independent media that certain people are going into bunkers already, did on Sunday, things like that. You just don't really know where to go with it. It's one of those things that you just have to watch and wait and get the information out that the mainstream media will not put out there, but we do, and hope that somehow we can bring these people to their senses whilst there's still time to do so. Back to you, Mark.
Well, it's interesting what Patrick was talking about, Andy, in regard to this whole business of so-called conservatives. And, of course, that term conservative is absolutely a loaded term. We really need to be examining, of course, a proper definition of what we mean by that term, as opposed to the way that that term is often used by all kinds of folks, ranging from CPAC denizens to CNN. But this whole anti-China thing, I think Patrick is absolutely correct. This is becoming an alarming part of the package of what the average Republican is thinking about China as it relates to being a quote-unquote conservative. One story I could have mentioned on the air today, and it will be in our new roadmap, Matthew J. L. Arrett, E-H-R-E-T. This comes originally from The Last American Vagabond. Lou Rockwell produced it on his page. Why do George Soros and Steve Bannon agree that the Chinese Chinese Communist Party must be destroyed? And as we read through this whole business, I think that the a lot of this China talk is absolutely alarming, especially as the way things are playing out. Every element in this neocon, zyocon foreign policy as it relates to Ukraine and Russia has absolutely revived, and I would argue is in the process of cementing a relationship between Russia and China that goes back to the earliest days of the Cold War, and that in turn is producing a situation where there's all this talk now from all of these deep state types on television and some of these military people that appear on these shows with, you know, they keep talking about China is our real adversary. We're going to have to go to war with China. We could be at war with China in 2 years and so forth. This to me is crazy talk. And when we start talking about the United States and all of the things that we now know about the complete downturn in American manufacturing capability and in manufacturing capabilities in Western Europe, as all of that is being revealed by these weapons and ammunition shortages that are playing out, much to Zelensky's chagrin in his surrogate war for these people against Russia, are we really going to say that the United States, even aside from whether or not it's good policy, whether or not such a horrible conflict is in fact avoidable, whether or not we can have a legitimate relationship with China? A lot of these people on the CPAC right don't even consider these things. Do they really believe that after the complete incompetence of Bush's war on terror and the manner of the American retreat and defeat in Afghanistan and everything that is going on now in this Russian-Ukrainian war, do they really believe that the United States and Western Europe could possibly defeat an alliance of Russia and China and Iran? This to me is getting back to this Matthew Arrett story at Lou Rockwell. Why are Soros and Steve Bannon on the same page in this anti-Chinese rhetoric? This is something that needs to be explored. And to me, as I watch this whole thing, a country, meaning the United States, that has deliberately exported its manufacturing economy to China and secondarily to other places in the world, and that a United States, which at one time in the Nixon-Kissinger years saw the driving of a wedge between the old Soviet Union and China is perhaps the most brilliant stroke of anything that Kissinger did when he was Nixon's Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. Are we now at a point where we are ready to be as mindless going into a conflict with China over Taiwan? When you look at the real state of the American manufacturing economy, and you look at the power of Russia and China, in terms of commodities, in terms of manufacturing capability, in terms of manpower. This to me is where this demonization of China, in my view, has to be absolutely reexamined in regard to the sanity of the people promoting it.
Well, go ahead, Patrick.
I have a couple of things to say. One regards Lukashenko that you mentioned earlier, but I'll get to that in a second. I think there's three strains in American foreign policy thinking. One is dominated by like pro-Likudnik Jews, who whose worldview centers around Israel, and keeping Israel the dominant hegemon in the Middle East, and they prioritize war with Iran. The second is Jews who are more focused on their position in the diaspora, who can never forgive Vladimir Putin for having betrayed the Jews who had put him into power in the first place. He betrayed those Jews. They can't let that ever happen again. And they have this, they already have an ethnic grudge against the Russians. Their top priority is going after Vladimir Putin in war with Russia. The third strain of thinking is from, I think, really dominated by the U.S. military. And their line of thinking is, no, Jews are better served by going after China because China's the strongest enemy.
No, go ahead, Mark. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that this gets back to Soros's comments about Russia and Russian Orthodoxy. What is the beef of George Soros with Russia? It's that Russia is nationalistic. It wants to have its own nation state sovereignty. It doesn't want its culture polluted by these global homo people. And they're resisting being subsumed into this Western central banking system. I mean, all of this is involved. And presumably, this is the big issue between the George Soroses of the world and China as well. It is the desire of this cabal to bring the remaining and strongest nation states on earth that are not currently totally subsumed in this new world order, to bring them into it. And they're not willingly going to go into it. So that to me is the bottom line on this. And to me, when you start talking about nation state sovereignty and who's got the commodities and who has the manufacturing capability, who has strong militaries, who are nuclear powers, by the way, none of this points to anything good in regard to going to war with these people in alliance with one another, especially when the real reason for it involves the drive of this cabal for world government. And I think that's where these CPAC people are absolutely don't get it.
Yeah, and world government, always world government under Jews. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Andy?
Well, I was just going to clarify this, the Jewish issue, because I've got this page we've quoted from before, jewishvirtuallibrary.org, Jews in the Biden administration. And we're told that they represent 2% of the US population, but we've got Ron Klain, chief of staff, resigned in 2023, replaced by Jeffrey Zients. We've got Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury, Alexander Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, Jared Bernstein, Council of Economic Advisors, and it goes on and on. There are US ambassadors to Israel, India, Germany, Canada, European Union, Singapore, Argentina, Japan, Denmark, Belgium. So have a look at this list, folks. And also, what isn't mentioned here is people say, well, Joe Biden isn't Jewish and Kamala Harris isn't Jewish. Well, funnily enough, Joe Biden is married to Jill Biden, who is Jewish, and Kamala Harris is married to Doug Emhoff, who's also Jewish. So anybody that will not say about the Jewish links to the Biden administration, of course, they're the people that it's now pretty much admitted were behind the blowing up of that Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and are really the saber rattlers against Iran, against China, and against Russia, because it is the Biden administration that are spearheading this. And I don't think this is something that we can walk away from. The evidence is here from the Jewish Virtual Library, which is one of their own sources. And you can look at it at that link, Jews in the Biden administration, in the post for this show at achshow.com. Patrick, back to you.
Yeah, if Joe Biden is Jewish, that's news to me. But Beau Biden, Joe's oldest son, had married a Jewish woman. Hunter Biden is currently married to a Jewish woman, and his daughter is if she's married, I think it's to a Jew. So there's certainly these same family connections. Anyway, regarding Lukashenko.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Currently married to a Jewish woman, and his daughter... if she's married, I think it's to a Jew. So there's certainly these same family connections. Anyway, regarding Lukashenko, so Xi Jinping went to Belarus, I guess on his way to Moscow, but he went to Minsk. And I saw an interview of Alexander Lukashenko by a Chinese woman who's, you know, I guess she's, you know, one of the national interviewers, and she speaks English. And there was an interesting interview. I'm not going to go much into it, but there, you know, the economic relations and political relations between Belarus, which is basically a Russian satellite, and China. They're very good. Now, the thing about Russian satellites is the Russian satellites, if a Russian satellite at this point, I mean, you can look at Ukraine. If a Russian satellite is to leave orbit, they have a lot more freedom of action than American satellites do. You know, when Ukraine left orbit, they were free to leave their orbit. I think if South Korea or Japan tried to abridge their treaties with the United States, there would be a lot more pushback. But at any rate, the Chinese investment in Belarus that was highlighted in this interview looked very productive and substantive. And that's about all I'm going to say. I'm going to kick it over to you. I don't know how much time we have left.
Yeah, well, I'll just take this quickly because I was led to believe that Jill Biden was Jewish, but going to her Wikipedia page and other areas, it says about being Roman Catholic. But I think where the confusion may have come in, it says Jill Tracy Biden, nay Jacobs. And of course, even at the top of the Wikipedia page, it says Jill Jacobs redirects here for the Jewish activist, see Jill Jacobs Rabbi. So obviously the surname Jacobs tends to be regarded as a Jewish surname, but if that's not the case, then that's not the case. It says her father, Donald Carl Jacobs, going back to Jill Biden, was a bank teller and a US Navy signalman during World War II. He used the GI Bill to attend business school and then worked his way up in the banking field. His family name had originally been Giacapo before his father, who immigrated from the Sicilian village of Gesso in Italy, changed it upon entering the United States. Her mother, Bonnie Jean Jacobs, was a homemaker, it says here, of English and Scottish descent. So I withdraw my claim that I believe Jill Biden was Jewish, but thank you for correcting me, Patrick, and we always will put out information here that we believe is correct. So, Patrick, I think you're going to want to wrap it up for your audience.
Yeah, and I'm going to be wrong sometimes on whether or not people are Jewish, but as much as possible, when I'm wrong, it's going to be not saying somebody's Jewish who actually is rather than vice versa. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.